So this is, we're actually recording episode 21 for the 14th, but we're actually recording it on the 16th because we're way late and out of control.
Yeah.
Yeah. so it's kind of a mess. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually, episode 21 for the... Okay, this is where it gets confusing. It's for the 14th of January, but we're actually recording it on the 16th of January because we haven't had internet and we've had a mess and it's just been chaotic. Anyway... Here in Australia, it is Friday. It's supposed to be out on the Wednesday. I do apologize, but we're here. So we're going to call this for the 14th of January, but just bear in mind, it is actually the 16th of January when we record this. Or we could just say it's the 16th. I don't care. It's all too confusing. Anyway, a little bit of a change of plan today because of the chaos that has been. And also, we have a bit of a special event. Katrina Smith, who is a very good friend of ours, she is a stand-up comedian, actress, songwriter, etc. She is a big fan of the original The Day the Earth Stood Still, made in 1951. And so am I. Oh, and, well, I haven't introduced you yet, but I'll introduce you now. That is the voice of Nicholas McVeigh, the little geek. How are you, Nicholas?
I am good.
Nicholas is joined me right from the beginning because I was getting to the change of plan. No other guests are with us today, are they? No other hosts are with us. Jacob is currently in Melbourne.
No, he's back.
No, he's in Melbourne right now.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Oh, yeah, he's not in the wilds of New Zealand anymore, but he is in Melbourne.
Because he said he was back on the 9th.
Yeah, he's been delayed for personal reasons. He is actually going to be back in Sydney for a day on Saturday, and then he's going back to Melbourne again for a couple of days. But hopefully next week we'll be able to Skype him in. But for the moment, he can't be on this show, and Mirren actually is busy with clients today. So she can't be on the show. So it's just Nicholas and I holding down the fort today, but that's okay because, as I was saying before, Katrina Smith came in last Saturday.
And you two recorded The Day the Earth Stood Still.
That's right.
You both watched the original.
Well, let me fill them in on the story. So Katrina came over and said, I don't know about this new Day the Earth Stood Still remake. And I said, I'll tell you what, I don't know about it either. I think it's going to suck. So I said, why don't you go see it and I'll go see it. And I know you can't make it on recording day, but we'll get together and we'll record a review for the new version of The Day the Earth Stood Still. And she said, great. So she came over on Saturday. We'd both seen the film, and we sat down to record a 10-minute review on the new Day the Earth Stood Still and compare it with the old 1951 one, and it turned into a 45-minute conversation about the two films and comparing them. And it's actually quite interesting, and we're going to play that for you in just a few minutes. In the meantime, though, Nicholas and I have a little bit of news to get through. Not much. Just a little bit of news to get us into the rock and roll of this. Next week, I do apologize for the kind of format changes and time changes and everything else of this show. It's just been insane, let me tell you.
Because we've been having holidays and he's been trying to...
Well, we had holidays. We explained all this last week. We had holidays and then during the holidays we decided to do a DSL changeover.
I wasn't here last week.
You weren't here last week. And of course, we lost DSL connection for 2 weeks and we finally got... Everything is back to normal as of yesterday. And so now we're going to try and get everything back on track. So this is going to be a bit of a chaotic, different show because we don't have a whole lot of material... But we do have the Katrina thing, which is fascinating. And we have a couple of films to review, so we will talk about those. And as I say, next week we should have the gangs all back, and we should basically be back to normal. Okay, so to start us off, first of all, last week, you weren't here, Nicholas, but last week we talked a little bit about Macworld, because Macworld was last week, but we ran out of time and we didn't really invest anything into it as to what was explained. Now, it's kind of old news now, and I will say, just go to apple.com and you can watch the keynote for yourself by Philip Schiller. He replaced Steve Jobs. What was interesting in the news this week, though, was that Steve Jobs has actually just announced that he's stepping down as the CEO.
I hope he's not going to die.
Oh, me too. We made some jokes about it last week, and they were probably a little bit off color. But it turns out that his health is a little bit more complicated than originally reported. And there's still no confirmation as to what it is, but it is a little bit more complicated. So apparently he's taking a leave of absence until June, and we'll see what happens after that. But for the meantime, Apple is going to be...
June's my birthday.
June is my birthday, too. So it's good. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully we'll have a nice birthday present, and he'll come back fighting strong, and Apple will go on as normal. But in the meantime, he has taken a step back, and interestingly enough, and predictably, I guess, the stock of Apple dropped dramatically when he did this, because, of course, people believe, so do I, in kind of a way, that if there's no Steve Jobs, there's probably no Apple. But we'll see what happens. We'll just... cross our fingers and hope for the best and see what happens over the next coming months. Okay, so that was that little piece of news that came out, and I thought that was kind of interesting. We also have, and I have it here somewhere, here it is, have to say a couple of rest in pieces or veils to Patrick Magoon from Prisoner Fame. He died this week, and so did Ricardo Montalban from Fantasy Island and Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
I've never heard of these people.
No, they're probably a little bit before your time, but they both died. Now, the funny thing is, I've actually got a note here that's written by Mirren, and we know how tactful Mirren is. She wrote, Ricardo Montalban died, and Little Arrow said, I thought he was already dead. So I think that's quite funny. To tell you the truth, I actually thought Ricardo Montalban was dead as well. I thought, because he was actually in the last film I saw him in, he was wheelchair-bound, and he wasn't looking very well. But apparently he has now died. So veil to the two of them. They will be missed. And in the other news, which I think you'll find very interesting, Nicholas, is that the Golden Globes were this week, and Heath Ledger won the Golden Globe for Best Actor for The Joker.
Cool.
So even that, so the award will be given to his daughter, apparently.
He had a daughter?
He has a little girl. A very little girl. So apparently she's going to get the, she'll get the award. So that was that little piece of news. Now, in Macworld, the thing that Schiller actually announced, he announced a couple of things. In his keynote, he brought forward the concept that... Oh, I've lost my page. What have I done with my page? Hold on. I'm bringing it. Here it is. Okay, so I think the three big... The four... Yeah, we'll get to that. The four biggest things that he announced. He announced that there'll be a new MacBook Pro 17-inch. Now, I use a MacBook Pro 17-inch. There's finally an upgraded model. However, I'm not quite sure about it because it looks pretty and it's got a glossy screen and everything else. But once again, it's got this whole Apple concept of non... user changeable batteries, which means that the battery is inside the case and you have to actually pay Apple to change the battery. And I'm not liking this trend. I'm not liking this trend at all. If I want to change the battery on my computer, I should be able to. It's the same thing I feel a little bit about iPods and iPhones. The non-user battery is an issue, I think, because batteries fail. The other thing that he announced was the release of a new iLife, iLife 09. And iWork 09. Now, these are kind of neat. Now, iWork 09, actually, I've been to the website, and I had a look over the video presentations of these things. Now, iWork 09 is available now. iLife 09 comes out at the end of the month. Now, iWork 09, it really doesn't seem that different. I mean, there's a few little things that they've added, new tweaks, and the going to full screen mode in Pages I really like, and they've added some new transitions and effects into Keynote. But really, it's not an upgrade I'm burning to get. However, yes?
But in iLife, in iMovie, they've changed lots of stuff in
there. I was about to say, iLife, on the other hand, got a little bit of an overhaul, not as dramatic as the iLife 08 overhaul. The iLife 08, every application got something. Now, in the new iLife 09, it doesn't look like iWeb or iDVD have actually changed very much. They look like they're pretty much the same as they were. They might have a few new...
Yeah, iDVD didn't even have any tutorials.
No, so they probably you know, tweaked things under the bonnet and added a few little bits and pieces, but they're not dramatic changes. GarageBand has actually had a couple of interesting things added to it. They added...
a music teacher.
Music teachers. You can actually learn to play guitar and piano through video tutorials right there on screen within GarageBand. And I think that's pretty neat because one of my goals this year is to actually learn piano. So I'm going to use GarageBand 09 to help me learn piano. I just need to get a keyboard. Can't afford one right now. We are accepting donations. Did I say that?
Yeah.
Go to geekactually.com. There's a donations button. We are accepting donations of any size. Anyway... One, I will get a keyboard at some point, and then we were going to. Then I'm going to teach myself how to play piano.
But we really want a Mac keyboard.
Yeah, it's got to be USB compliant. It's got to be GarageBand compliant. It's not actually Mac. It's just anything that's USB and GarageBand.
Yeah.
Now, the two biggest changes in iLife, though, were definitely iPhoto, and iPhoto 09 adds face recognition software.
Oh, yeah, you told me that.
Which is awesome. You can basically tag up an entire library by recognizing one face, and then iPhoto will go through and find all the photos with that person in the gallery. It's really neat. It's how well it works, I won't know until I actually play with it, but the demonstrations are very, very neat. And it also has a new slideshow format, and some of the new slideshows are fabulous.
And I can't wait till iMovie.
Yeah, we'll get to iMovie. Oh, we're not up to iMovie yet. And it's also got inbuilt geotagging. And now geotagging is becoming the big thing. This is where you actually put the location via latitude and longitude or GPS to your photos so you know exactly where they were taken. And that's now built into iPhoto as well. iPhoto is actually a very compelling – iPhoto 09 is a very compelling product. The biggest changes, I think, were in iMovie 09. Now, iMovie 08, just to fill in some background here, iMovie HD was a personal favorite for a lot of people.
I liked it.
I was never really heavily into it because I'm a Final Cut Pro user, but a lot of people really liked iMovie HD. It had lots of effects, and you could do all sorts of neat things with it. iMovie 08 came out, and they rewrote it from the ground up to make it this whole browser drag-and-drop format that was all real time, and it works really well, but they took out all the effects and all the bells and whistles to make it just a really simple editor. And this copped a lot of flack when it came out because basically people were saying, well, it's useless, I can't do anything with it, and it wasn't frame specific enough on its editing to really do fine cuts. Well, Apple has addressed this, and iMovie 09 is almost upon us. And what they've done is they've taken iMovie 08, so the same easy-to-use infrastructure, and they've put back effects, and they've put the ability to strip audio from video clips, and they've put the ability to put multiple audio tracks.
And green screen.
Green screen video effects. They've put a time control on it so you can speed up or slow down clips.
Yeah, I like that.
That which is really neat as well. They've put this new thing on there called themes, which is really neat. You can actually lay out all your clips and then say apply a theme, and it puts all the transitions and everything into it.
And remember, you could put a background on your writing?
Yeah, and it's got backgrounds on its titles and animated titles, and it's also got a really, it's gimmicky, but it's really fun. It's got a thing with maps and globes where you can actually, if you're doing a travel video, say, put in your starting location and your closing location, it does the Indiana Jones line across the map to show where you're traveling to. It's kind of neat. Now, I'm not a big iMovie user because, as I say, I use Final Cut, but I do have a bunch of home movies that I'm going to cut, and I have them in iMovie 08 at the moment.
And some of them I'm trying to cut, too.
And I've tried to cut them, and I always sit there and go, but I want to do this, and I want to do that. And I go, maybe I should put it in a Final Cut, but then it's going to take me a lot longer to do, et cetera, et cetera. iMovie 09 actually makes me want to cut the home movies. It actually makes me want to put together our trip to L.A. and our trip to Queensland and stuff like that because it looks neat. It looks like fun to use.
And I'm going to do the Canberra one.
And you're going to do the Canberra one. So we're going to have some home movies cut together with iMovie 09 at the end of the month. Nicholas and I are eager to get our hands on a copy of iLife. I'll probably wait on iWork for a little while, and I'm probably the only one in the house that would be interested, so I probably won't get the family pack on that one again, but I will get the family pack, which is one of Apple's things. It's a great initiative, which is where you can buy a single user or you can buy a five-user license, and the five-user license is really cheap. I mean, it's only $50 more or something compared to the single user. Microsoft could learn lessons from this by, you know, you can do the same thing with their operating system. So you can buy a copy of Leopard and say, buy me a five-user copy of Leopard, and it's much cheaper that way, and you get Leopard across all your Macs in the house. Microsoft, you say, I want to buy a copy of Windows, it costs you a couple hundred bucks, and then you go, I want another copy of Windows, well, you got to shell out another couple hundred bucks each time. It's just wrong.
Yeah.
So I think people could learn from this licensing structure. Anyway, so that was the Macworld announcement. The other thing that they announced, which is probably the most important thing they announced, actually. There's new software, there's new laptops and stuff like that. But the biggest thing they announced, because of the economy, economics, and because of business and everything else, was they are removing the DRM.
What's the DRM? The
digital rights management, the copy protection, from iTunes Music.
Yes!
So this is a big thing because DRM is a pain in the ass. As an example, Nicholas was putting together a little fan film the other day. He wanted to use a track from The Dark Knight. And, of course, The Dark Knight is DRM'd because it was bought on iTunes, and so he couldn't use it because it wouldn't import. So, and yes, there are ways around DRM, and I am a geek, and I know how to get around DRM, so we won't get into that debate because that gets into a whole legality issue. But the ability to be able to go through and update all the music, it does cost, but not very much, to update all that music to get the DRM off. And not everything is DRM-free yet, but they're going that way.
Excuse me, but what about the Doctor Who track we bought? It's not DRM, because I use it.
No,
because
some music is DRM and some isn't. If you buy the iTunes Plus music, iTunes Plus has been around for a while. But, so iTunes Plus has been around for a while, but only one label was allowing them to release. Now all the labels are going to allow them to do this.
Yay.
So we're going to start seeing more and more stuff come out DRM free, which is fantastic news. That's really good. So that's probably the biggest news, I think, was the DRM free music. I think that's fabulous. All right. Now I've got a question for the audience. I have been Googling like crazy, and I haven't been able to find out any information about this. If anybody out there knows, please email me. I am a user of Delicious Library 2 from Delicious Monster. It's the video library program on my Mac. I love it. I just adore it. Now, I heard the creator of this program on Leo Laporte's show. I can't remember if it was MacBreak Weekly or Twit. It was one of the two. But he was on there, and he was talking, and he was very interesting. But one of the things he said, and it's something I've been waiting for drastically, is he was saying that he was developing an iPhone app for Delicious Library so that you could actually sync it up with your Delicious Library.
Farts?
No, not the farts. Nicholas heard for the first time the iFart program on an iPhone. It was very funny. But, no, this is about the video library program. Now, I want to know what the status of that program is, and I've been Googling like crazy, and I can't find anywhere any information on this this program. So if anybody knows anything about the status of the Delicious Library 2 iPhone app, I would be very interested in hearing about it. Okay, so that's enough of that. That's our tech news for the day. We have a couple. We're going to move into Katrina in a moment here, but before we do that, I saw two movies this week. Nicholas saw one. He actually saw a lot of DVDs, but we saw one movie at the cinema. Now, Nicholas and I have decided that we're going to do a little bit of a special thing, probably next episode, which will be about Terminator.
Yeah.
Now, Nicholas has just discovered the Terminator films. He's watched all three of them. He can't wait for the next one. And he's also right in the middle of the Sarah Connor Chronicles television show. So am I. And we're enjoying it greatly. And we enjoyed the movies. And so we're going to have a little talk about that and what he thought about the Terminator films. We don't have time today, but that's coming up in either next week or the week after. I'm not sure when we're going to have time to do that. Next week might be kind of crowded because we're going to have everybody back. So.
Shouldn't it be when Terminator 4 comes out?
Well, yeah, but that's not coming out until the middle of the year.
Oh, yeah.
So, we could save it for that now, or we could save it for the showcase. The showcases are still moving ahead with all the chaos that's been going over the last couple of weeks. We haven't had time to develop, but the showcases are going ahead. If you have suggestions about people or things that you want showcased for those showcase shows, by all means, send in your suggestions. I can't guarantee that we will do them, but if you send in your suggestions, it will give us information about what people are interested in hearing about. I personally am very keen on doing one on Wes Craven, who is a horror film director, who I find very interesting. I'm very, very, very keen on doing one on Steven Spielberg.
What are you talking about?
This is a special series of podcasts that we're going to do, which will just be informational about one subject.
You never told me that.
I have, but we'll talk about it off air. All right, so before we go any further, I think we'll just review very quickly. I went to see the film Yes Man. Now, here is a little bit of Yes Man. I haven't actually queued this clip up, so we'll just play it. This is a little bit of Yes Man with the new comedy starring Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
It's the first word we learn.
No.
And some people...
I'm having a funny hat and or wig party.
Sucks I'm going to be out of town.
You don't know what day it is.
When is it?
Friday.
I'm out of town.
Never grow out of it.
No. No.
Yeah, no.
No means no.
Hey, want to rock out tonight? Oh, it's you. Let me guess. No?
Yep.
Yes?
No, I meant yes to your no.
But this Christmas...
What was that you said?
No.
Yes.
Yes!
Carl is about to discover...
I do want to take guitar lessons.
I do want to learn how to fly. Yes, I would like to learn Korean.
What he's always been missing.
So wait, you can say yes to everything.
Exactly.
I wasn't open to stuff, and now I am. Things are changing for me.
Yo, Carl, hitting the clubs, got a case of Red Bull, gonna pull an all-nighter. You down?
Yes! Jim Carrey.
I never had a Red Bull before, but I had a Red Bull last night. I really like Red Bull.
Yeah, you seem a little hyper.
Hey, after we chop, we should go to Red Bull.
Okay, that'd be
Red
really
Bull.
That sounds
Red
like...
Bull.
Red
I
Bull.
I think I'd really... Red Bull!
All right, so that's Jim Carrey in the new film.
Don't watch the trailer.
after we finish recording, I'll show you the rest of the trailer. It's a very funny film. Now, I have to say, I really enjoyed this, and I'm actually going to take Little Geek to see this one, I think, because it is a funny film. Jim Carrey is in fine, fine form. If you like the film Liar Liar, then you will like Yes Man. Liar Liar and Yes Man have a very similar pedigree to them. It is a fun film, as you heard from the trailer, about a man who basically, he's miserable in his life, he says no to everything, he can't stay, he's in a dead-end job, until he runs into an old friend who's basically been to one of these seminars, those, you know, inspirational seminars all about saying yes. If you say yes, your life will change. And so he goes along to the seminar and basically makes a covenant with the guy saying he'll say yes to every opportunity that comes along. And so from that point onwards, for the rest of the film, he just says yes to everything. Everything. And it's very amusing because
I saw one clip and there was this woman on a bike and then she says, do you want to come along? And he says, okay.
Well, that actress is played by Zoe Deschanel, who I absolutely adore. She if you saw the dreadful film The Happening that was last year, she was in that. We won't hold that against her, but she was also in the television series Weeds and many other films, and she was in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy big screen version that was a couple years ago. I adore her. She's got this really wacky sense of humor, and to have her and Jim Carrey on screen together, both being insane, is very funny stuff. She is so miscast most of the time. They really need to play to her vein of gold, which is this kind of wacky out there chick, and she's very good in this film. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I had a great time at the cinema. If you are not a Jim Carrey fan, I would say give it a try anyway, because it's not your
watch The Grinch.
It's not your typical Jim Carrey film. It is a little bit more grand. As I say, it's a more real character, more like the Liar Liar character. It's a review in City Morning Herald, like she said, it's like Liar Liar, but take out the MacGuffin and the magic and just have the character. And that's kind of what it's like. It's true. There's no magic here. It's just him opening himself up to the universe, basically, by saying yes and taking opportunities. There's one funny sight gag, and it's not really spoiling the film, but it's a funny sight gag, because, of course, he has to say yes to everything. He comes home to his apartment one night, and, of course, it is full of junk, because of course he would have been watching television and all those infomercials saying buy now, he would have been going yes, yes, yes. And so he's got skateboards and guitars and all this stuff in his eyes. It's very funny stuff. Highly recommend it. Had a great time at the cinema watching it. I did laugh out loud, and I do recommend it thoroughly. It is out playing now. So go see it before it finishes, because it is well worth having a listen to. Okay, we are going to allow Katrina Smith to have her moment of glory, and we're gonna talk all about
glory!
The Day the Earth Stood Still, me and Katrina, which is a pre-record. You're gonna hear us. We're gonna start with a clip from the remake with Keanu Reeves.
Leave all your cell phones and cameras here,
Helen. I thought it was important to have you part of this team. Don't be afraid.
Afraid of what?
I'm going to ask you a series of control questions. Are you currently in a seated position?
Yes.
Do you feel pain?
My body does.
Are you human?
My body is.
General Quinn needs to see you in the briefing room. He says it's urgent.
Are you aware of an impending attack on the planet Earth? I'll repeat the question.
Did you feel that? Feel what?
You should let me go.
Ooh, spooky. Okay, that was a clip from the new film, The Day the Earth Stood Still. Joining me for this feature review is Katrina Smith, actress, comedian, songwriter, singer. Did I miss anything?
Yeah, well, I write my own comedy, yes.
Oh, well, it's a, when I said comedian, I should have said stand-up comedian.
Thank you.
That would have been better. Okay. Now, I also believe that you're a closet geek.
I am. Well, I think I've actually, I think the wardrobe door is ajar.
Oh, okay. I'm well and truly
out.
We're on the way to outing you.
I'm totally out.
Oh, you're totally out.
Out
okay.
For
so, geek credentials. I know you're a Doctor Who fan.
I am.
New series, old series, or all?
All.
All? Okay.
And can I say, I have met Tom Baker. Yes, I have.
Okay, that's it. That's the geek. That's the geek right there. Now, have you seen, just before we start this, glorious film review, have you seen The New Doctor?
Yes.
There was on the latest Doctor Who Confidential, there was actually an interview with him.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know.
Oh, you mean the actual new one?
The new Doctor.
No, I haven't.
Ah, well, I can, you know what? Once we finish recording here, I will show you what the new Doctor looks
My
like.
My sister will die. She will just die.
Now, the new Doctor is 26 years old and very English, very paley, very skinny. And when I first saw
him... Does it have breasts?
No, it doesn't have breasts.
Okay, well, there was the question mark about whether the new Doctor was going to, in fact, be
there
the
was,
one.
And there's actually still rumour kicking around, before we get onto our review, there is still rumour kicking around that Jennifer Saunders will play the Doctor for the next Christmas special.
Cool.
He'll do a temporary transformation. And
reassignment.
A gender reassignment and become Jennifer Saunders for one episode for the Christmas special. But once again, you never know, because I saw the Christmas special recently and it was nothing that I expected.
My sister's gagging for that as well.
Well, I might be able to help her out.
Thank
but
you.
That's neither here nor there.
Can I add one more thing to my geek?
Oh, yes, please thing? Do.
From the age of probably 12 to about 20, every Friday and Saturday night, laying on two single beds, watching a little black and white TV, watching The Golden Years of Hollywood with Bill Collins.
Oh, my God. You know what? I'm keying in your credentials right now.
Okay.
You are an outed geek.
I am totally out.
Now, Katrina, I'm so glad to have you here because we've been trying to get you on the show since we started, actually. We thought you might be a nice contribution to us. So.
I'm a bit pleased and proud to be here, I must say.
So, all right. And you make our second special guest, because last week we had Holly, and this week we've got you coming on, so there you go. Okay, why we are here. Now, this is, as we mentioned earlier in the show, this is a pre-recorded review, because we couldn't get you, unfortunately, on the day that we normally record the show, but that's fine. We're just going to slot you in, and people will think...
The wonder of technology.
The wonder of technology, there you go. It all sounds very good. So, why we're here is because we're feature reviewing The Day the Earth Stood Still, which is the new 2008 remake with Keanu Reeves. And people would say, well, why are we spending so much time on just that one film and there are so many other films? Because I would say that we harp on about remakes a lot. And we have a section on the website all about the remakes coming up and so forth. And this film gave us the perfect opportunity to look at a remake because this is a remake of a particular film, which is a seminal science fiction classic. And I would almost go far as so far as to say that it's an untouchable.
I agree.
And they've touched it.
No, I actually think criminal charges could be laid.
Possibly. Now, I think first thing I want to do is I want to look at the new Day the Earth Stood Still as a film on its own. If they didn't have an original, if they weren't coming from an original, if it was just a standalone film and it had shown up at Christmas and you said, let's go see the new sci-fi film, first thoughts would be what?
Well, before I have to be a bit of a difficult special guest and say, because you said, oh, are you going to watch the other one? I thought, no, I'm actually going to leave my childhood memories of it unsullied. Left it in a little magic bubble of memory and I will attempt to take two steps to the left and do as you ask.
Okay.
But most of my comments tend to be in the juxtaposition with the old one.
Okay, that's
but
fair
But that's
enough.
Okay. I will
and
take...
it is, and what I'm asking is a very hard thing to do.
No,
because when it is a film that is so ingrained in our psyche, I mean, a film that has stood the test of time for 58 years, where it can still be considered this science fiction classic,
yes.
It's a hard one to shake.
Yes, it is.
It's like saying, let's remake Gone with the Wind and not compare it to the original Gone with the Wind.
That's
you know,
right.
It's going to be something that's hard to do.
All right. No, but I will do it because I'm ever cooperative. So, taking it in its own little isolated bubble.
Yep.
and I'm using that word on purpose because we had the attack of the spheres everywhere.
Yeah.
It was so preachy. I think the first thing I have to say is it just took its environmental message and it whacked you about the head with it and it didn't stop. It put down the recyclable yellow pages and went and got another one.
You felt like it needed to have that recycle stamp on the screen at all times.
No, I wouldn't have been surprised if one wasn't burned into my bum through the movie seat. It just went on and on and on. And you just thought, darling, I almost want to throw a plastic bag into the ocean as a retaliation.
And you know what's really interesting that you mentioned that? Because that is actually one of my points as well, is the fact that I thought it was way preachy.
Oh.
But I'm going to go one step further and say that the cinema experience, because we talk about the cinema experience a lot as well, the cinema experience of seeing this movie, I saw this movie at Grand Union Bondi Junction last night, and I sat, you know, I got there on time, you know, I talk about, you know, you shouldn't come in too late because then you disrupt people and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I was good. I was there on time. I went into the cinema. You know, the film hadn't started yet.
Yeah.
And took my seat. I was, you know, all the diligent things that you have to do. And then, of course, the ads started. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Right? When I was a kid,
yeah,
and we're roughly the same age,
when
I was a kid, you used to go to the movies. They would put the slides up on screen, which
yes.
was the, what was on screen to get you into the cinema.
Yes.
Then they would show a few ads.
Yes.
And then they would show you some movie trailers,
yes.
and then the movie would start.
Correct.
Okay. Or you get a short, and then the movie would start.
Yes.
Yeah? Well, we've now gotten to the point where Bondi Greater Union showed 25 minutes of ads before the film. 25 minutes
ads only of ads. Or ads and trailers?
I was about to say 25 minutes of ads, including trailers.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So 25 minutes of ads, including trailers, and they mix the trailers in with the ads now. So it's not you got ads, then trailers, then movie. So it's like ad, trailer. You go, oh, here we go, trailer. And then after the trailer, a couple more ads, and then a trailer, and then a couple more ads, and then a trailer, and then a couple more ads.
That's low.
It's low. Now, on top of that, the ads that we actually got, and why I bring this up is because we had one after another government ads. You know, the ones that actually say approved by the federal government, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah, the anti-drinking ones.
We had don't drink, don't speed, don't smoke, don't live, don't breathe, don't do this, don't do that, don't, you know, literally hit over the head again and again and again of all these things you're not allowed to do. So all this preaching before the movie. And then the movie started and you sit there and go, I've already been yelled at. I don't want to be yelled at anymore.
But you see, have to look at the demographic. You know, if it's, what is it, the male, what's the demographic? 13 to 25 or something?
Well, it's actually, I think it's like 16 to 23 or something like that.
Okay, so they thought, great, we've got these captive male teenagers in this dark place. Let's just hit them with all the big messages first. And I agree with you.
But the problem is that all those males, all those people in the cinema, like myself, you could physically hear the groans. God, another one?
Yeah, the young men were getting restless in their seat. I have to agree.
The one with the speeding, you can almost hear them sitting there going, yeah, that's pretty cool. Let's go.
If you want to take a sideways step, what about then they put out the ad with the guy with a really big pinky
to
nullify that?
There is actually one ad that is playing at almost every cinema I've been to recently, which is the one for the winery, which starts with the laptop.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, that ad is designed to be the last ad of the trailers because he actually says, you're waiting for your movie. That's right. And he says, at the beginning, though, he says, I know you're waiting for your movie. It's coming next.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then he does his ad and says, by the way, I've seen this movie. And then the film's supposed to start. Well, Greater Union, they show that. And then they throw three more ads after that.
Oh, man.
So they just screwed the pooch when it came to the ads. I mean, completely. I mean, and so I was already preached at going into this movie. So let me tell you, it did. Color.
Your experience.
It is color, this experience. All right, so continue. Sorry, I went off on a little rat hole there.
So, I agree totally. So, all right, I'm staying away from the original. I'm going to then say that I love Keanu. I could watch Keanu in his statue-like state forever. But more wooden than usual.
I think Mira important. She goes, is it an effort for him to actually move his face?
Well, I know. I mean, when we get into the actual guts of it, there were so many opportunities lost in this film. There were opportunities lost for humour. There were opportunities lost for, because he was saying at the beginning, I don't know how to basically drive this body.
Mm.
And then later on when they're on the escape and the little child says, I have to go to the toilet, I thought, great, we might see how does he manage with this new body and going to the toilet, because we saw him buy a tuna sandwich.
Also, I had a problem with that because there's quite a big deal with the whole glass of water and the whole bit about him not being able to drive the body. He said it's going to take time to get used to. And in the next scene, he's up and walking and everything's fine.
Well, yes, apart from the fact he's probably, you know, a super intelligent alien being. We'll give him that. But really, But do you know what really tickled me? I'm jumping all over the place here. That's I don't know how fine, you're going to fine. Edit this. But
I'm not.
Okay, well, so he lands. I'll try and take a vaguely chronological approach for your listeners. The thing lands, and
I should say, spoiler alert, people. We probably will spoil some stuff here, so if you don't want to know about this film at all, time skip about 5 minutes on this podcast, all right? But just pre-warning, all right?
So, the whole hoobliness is happening. There's something hurtling towards the Earth, and they get the best scientific minds ever. And they get them all together, and then they walk them towards the big glowing ball that they don't know what it's going to do. Well, and they put them in a silver hazmat suit.
I also love the fact that this thing coming in at great speeds, and they're actually in the helicopter discussing the fact that this is an end-of-world event.
Yes.
If this thing hits, the world is over.
That's right.
So what are they doing? They're not going into bomb shelters. They're not going underground. They're flying their helicopters around where it's going to land.
Yes. You know, so they can watch the dust cloud and the nuclear winter begin.
I think, you know what? I think if it was going to be the end of the world, I think I'd want to be at ground zero too somehow.
And she's a like a universal galaxy-based microbiologist to see what little bugs live in space, right?
Yep.
Okay, that's Jennifer Connelly's role. Can I be a bit mean at this point?
You can, please.
Pretty girl, such a pretty girl, you know, in the labyrinth. In beautiful mind, but she's had a child. That's sucked the life out of her. She just looks very pinched. She needs a few baked dinners, as a buddy of mine would say.
All right, I'm gonna jump in here and from the male point of view, okay? From the male point of view.
Well, you would be male.
Male and superficial point of view.
Yes.
Jennifer Connelly was every man's wet dream, okay? Not Labyrinth, that was a bit young,
yes.
Okay? But when she did The Rocketeer back in the 80s, She did a film called Career Opportunities, which virtually no one saw.
No, I didn't know that one.
Career Opportunities, she spends the entire film in this tight white t-shirt, or white singlet, mm-hmm. and black pants, and she's got this long black hair. She was gorgeous. I mean, we are talking about she was just... Every man would have just fallen to their knees for this girl.
I know.
And over the years, something has happened to her. And you say she's had a child, but it's before that. We're talking back to even when she did Requiem for a Dream and all this sort of stuff. She's lost a lot of weight. She's very thin and gaunt.
She looks very pinched.
Very thin and gaunt looking, very tight looking.
Yes.
And somebody has been filling her ear with, you're a magnificent actress, you're a magnificent actress. And she now believes it. And so she's lost everything, all the charm. She's lost all of the warmth that she used to have that made men drop to their knees. And so now we look at her and go, who cares? And what happened to her boobs? She actually had a very large bust. When she was in Career Opportunities and she was in The Rocketeer and when she went topless in The Hot Spot with Don Johnson, she was a very large-chested girl and she has no bust. I mean, this is not a weight loss thing. Has she had them reduced? Or what happened to this girl, you know? Anyway, that's a purely superficial point. That is so superficial.
I'm sorry.
Because she was one of my favorites. I used to love her. I could just stare at her on screen for hours.
Yeah.
She didn't have to act. She just had to stand there, okay? And when I used to work at a video library many years ago, we had posters of her from when Career Opportunities were coming out, and she was above the counter. She was like our goddess, right?
And
we would change the posters regularly, of course, for all the new movies. Not that one. That one stayed there for years because she was our babe, right? And you know, she's not anymore. What can I tell you? She's and it's not an age thing.
She did that dreary thing with the bloke that played in Gandhi. She was in that House of Fog and Sand or something.
Oh, yes.
And then she did that Japanese spooky remake, Dark Water, and she's just been doing and this dire
And she did the Ang Lee Hulk, where she played Betty with, you know, all emotions and so forth. And all I can say is Liv Tyler did a better job in the second one,
right.
You know, because Liv Tyler at least brought back a little bit of sensuality back to it again. I don't think Liv Tyler is that good an actress, but she was so much better than her. I mean, Jennifer Connelly, I used to go, Jennifer Connelly's in it. Let's go to the cinema.
Yeah.
Now I go, Jennifer Connelly's in it. Oh, God.
Well, you know? I think it's going to be so worthy. I think, you know, my intellectually worthy. Up to the challenge.
Good word.
Write that down.
Write that down. That's a good word.
All right. So because I've done this terribly superficial and I hate myself for a sideways thing about this poor woman. So, all right. So they take their best and brightest, they put them in a little silver hazmat suit. She's a microbiologist from the space, so one would imagine she needs a microscope, but now she's walking towards this ball as well.
in her silver hazmat suit.
And then out comes the alien. I won't spoil anything there. And
no, actually, I want to spoil that, because that was actually one of the things I really liked.
I really liked the way that they
because of it being, you know, a modern interpretation of it, I really liked the way that they handled the way that the aliens came out, and I liked the way that he was, like, in the placenta type, you know, surroundings, and he was
whale blubber.
And it was all whale blubber, and it was all, you know, he had DNA mapped 78 years earlier, and, you know, and all this sort of stuff. And I loved all that. I thought that was all very clever. I thought that was really very well handled, you know. Better than him coming out in the bobblehead and silver suit, you know. But, you know,
well, they were in the silver suits. You can't go to the party and wear the same outfit.
That's right. They were already in the, they were already in the bobblehead and silver suits.
Oh my god!
Now, I do have to say though that the concept of it coming down as a sphere, I'm so bored with.
You're still a saucer man, are you?
Well, no, it's just that we've done it to death. We've had Michael Crichton's Sphere. It was a sphere. Of Event Horizon, it was a sphere. There was another film which I was thinking of when
the
I was
Abyss?
Watching it.
No, that was a flat plate.
No, that was a flat plate. No. There's another film which was a ball. I mean, we seem to be this obsession with...
James and the Giant Peach? That was spherical.
No, it was another science fiction film. There's another, and my listeners would be going, you idiot, it was such and such. Yeah, I know. All right. Look, I am still internetless, right?
We're doing this by candlelight, and Nikki, Junior Geek is peddling very fast
to keep the board alive. That's right. So yeah, we're still internetless at the moment, as we discussed last week. Anyway, so I quite liked all that, but I would like to have seen. I don't know. I just think the sphere concept has been done. I think we're kind of over that.
Would you like it?
I'd like a saucer. Give me a saucer, man.
A triangular prism. Well, no, we could have a cube that's sort of, you know, Borgish.
That's true, yeah.
You know.
Or a hexagon.
Or a dodecahedron. No, that worked in Jesus Christ Superstar.
Did it?
The dodecahedron. That was the 1970s.
I remember the film. I don't remember the...
No, this wasn't a film. This was the actual stage show. They had a 12-sided cube.
Oh, on stage. I never saw it on stage.
Oh, my God.
I never saw it on stage. I'm sorry.
I only
saw the Norman Jewison film.
Which, yes, you needed medication for that.
But I quite like the Norman Jewison film.
No. All right, well, I'm dying.
That's a different film.
So, all right. But I want to say something about the old one, but you're not letting me, about the whole...
Oh, look, just go for it.
All right.
No, look, let me finish up. Let me finish up.
I'm taking
the new film as a film on itself, I would, without, you know, delving into it in detail, because I think we're going to need the original film to delve into it in detail, just to look at it from that, aside from the fact that it was incredibly preachy, which it was... As a film on its own, look, if there was no original film and it just landed fully born at our cinemas and said, here's this new science fiction film starring Keanu Reeves, I would have gone, it's all right. It's nothing special. And I never felt bored through the film. I sat there, I watched it, you know, I thought, yeah, Gort was kind of cool, you know, and all this sort of stuff. But it didn't spark the imagination. It didn't.
No, it was worse than that.
It was worse than that,
It was worse than that. The special effects were cool. Gort, loved what Gort did to be destructive in the new one.
Yep.
Loved it. I thought that was clever. It was great. Yep. Brilliantly executed.
I hated that soldier, the commander with the Texan accent. I thought he was so bad, but that's a side note.
The one in the bunker.
Get those sidewinders going.
Yes. He was a
bit... He was awful. Anyway.
The man was feeling impotent against superior technology. Give him a break. So... That whole bit was great. The child needed to be popped onto an asteroid. He was the most appalling. I'd have left him behind on every possible occasion.
See, I didn't think he was that bad. I mean, I thought the character was badly written. I thought Jaden Smith is Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith's son, and he was in Pursuit of Happiness.
Loved him in that.
And he's an okay little actor, and I thought he was okay, but I just hated the way they wrote the character. See, and once again, we're going to have to go back to the original, because the original kid will come back. All right.
I'm sorry.
All right. We're going to start mixing and matching this, because it's ridiculous. We need the 1951.
I need it.
All right, 1951, Day the Earth Stood Still, directed by Robert Wise. All right, look, here's your pedigree as well, okay? Day the Earth Stood Still, 1951, directed by Robert Wise. Robert Wise directed West Side Story, Andromeda Strain, Star Trek The Motion Picture, Run Silent, Run Deep, and 38 other films, many of which are classics, okay?
Yes.
Unfortunately, he died in 2005. The new film is directed by Scott Derrickson, who directed The Exorcism of Emily Rose and Hellraiser Inferno. So, you know, we've got like some good pedigree there. So we got a bit of a contradiction there with the quality of filmmaker to start with.
Yes.
So if we look at the original film, I watched it now. I saw the remake last night, and then I immediately came home and watched the 1951 version because I wanted to have both fresh in my mind, and I wanted to watch them in that order because I wanted to go to the remake fresh. I hadn't seen Day the Earth Stood Still probably in 10 years, so it was good. And I really enjoyed the 1951 one. Now, the first thing that I would have to say is the 1951 one is also incredibly preachy, but it's 1951, and they were absolutely in terror of nuclear weapons.
Yes.
And so the producers wanted to make a stern warning about the dangers of nuclear weapons, and that's what the original was really about. It was about saying we have to be careful because we will be destroyed by nuclear weapons. Now, the film is saying that the aliens will destroy us if we don't get rid of our nuclear weapons, but what they're really saying is if we keep going the way we're going, we're going to destroy ourselves.
That's right. At that point, we didn't have anywhere else to live.
That's right. We didn't have anywhere else to live, and we were going to screw ourselves completely. Now, the differences between the original and the remake, though, I think is that the original kind of succeeds in getting its message across.
Very much so.
Because he is heading towards a goal, which is to deliver a message to the world people.
Yes.
And he does that. In the new one, he doesn't.
Now he's gagged and popped in a bunker.
That's right. So you kind of defeat the purpose of it right there.
Well, can I just say, the
Katrina, you're now unleashed. Go for it.
Can I just be a little bit coarse and say the way they rooted it was in the first one, and the movie's called The Day the Earth Stood Still, right? Not a whole lot of army people know what's happening and no one else does. It was the day the Earth, not just downtown Washington, stood still. So, right, or New York, where we landed. So, in the first one, it's daytime. We get the power and the majesty of it landing in the field. And the people
That's
go,
right.
Ooh.
And everybody sees it, and the world press is talking about it.
That's right. It's the day the Earth stood still, not the day the Earth was still unaware. That's right. This one, it lands at night. We've already talked about the hazmat suits. But they also, someone has gone mental with the smoke machine. I would say right the way through this, someone has just been let off the leash with the smoke machine, and you think something really good could be happening behind that. I don't know, but there's too much smoke.
They were hiding the goddamn sphere because it's such a stupid idea.
Oh, let go of the sphere, Dave. It's upsetting me. Anyway, so
you're waiting for the smoke to clear and find a spacecraft. We've got a beach ball.
Somebody get a breeze going. We can see what's happening. So, all right, lands in the night instead of the day. And then in the original, he comes down the platform and he offers something to them. And that's when they shoot him. And it was a toy.
Because they think it's a weapon.
That's right. And he said it was a toy to show children the stars.
No, that's not what he says, actually. I saw it last night. He actually said, this was for your president so that he could see the stars.
All right. Well, fine. It was still a gadget.
It was a tool.
It was a tool. It wasn't a nasal hair trimmer.
No.
So,
and of course they saw it and he pops the little things out, and because they pop out, the guy goes bang and shoots.
I know,
it.
The little pointy things.
Yeah.
See, I remember that much.
Yeah.
So, fine. And then from the moment he's shot, and then Gort gets a bit tense, and then he's getting medical treatment. But my memory of the original is that he is actually dying. He is actually in the process of dying. He wasn't fixed the way they fixed Keanu when they shot him.
Actually, no. Funnily you mention that, because that's what I thought as well. And it's actually, the 10 years has passed, and of course now I've seen it. He actually has the little salve, the little lip balm.
lip balm of health,
That actually cures him.
I thought he was dying, and that's why he had to get back on the ship.
No, he gets shot, he gets taken to the hospital, and by the next morning, of course, he's healed, because they actually say it in dialogue, they say he put a bit of this cream on himself and he healed, right?
Yeah.
He actually is carrying it with him. It's not like it's his afterbirth that was surrounding him like in the new film. It was something that he carried with him. And he's all healed, and he goes out and he wanders the streets basically trying, because he decides that he needs to meet the real people.
That's right.
And so he goes and he takes a room for rent in a boarding house.
And that's
he gets
when
to
he meets Patricia
O'Neill. And then he meets the Boy Scout and Patricia O'Neill. Now, and then after he gets to meet them all, and he gets to meet the scientist and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, all the dancing and so forth, he is trying to get back to this meeting that he's organized. He gets shot a second time.
Ah! That
now,
out of my head.
When he gets shot the second time, he says to her,
the message.
I am afraid of what Gort will do.
Yes.
She said, and this is, and this brings up an incredibly important point.
Yes.
The famous line. Yes.
It's on my piece of paper. Where was it?
Gort. Klaatu Varadu Nektu.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
This line is so iconic that it has been mocked, it has been copied, it has been used in so many films because it is such an iconic line.
I waited for that line.
So did I. I actually thought. Now, once again, spoiler alert, I thought when he was going into the storm at the end, going toward, I thought that's when he was going to say it, and it would all stop, but he didn't say it, right? Anyway, so I was very upset that this line wasn't it. Anyway, so he says to her, you must go and say this to Gort to stop him.
That's correct.
So she does, Gort stops, and Gort goes and collects him.
His body, yes.
His body, brings him back to the spaceship and revives him, and he says, we can't cure death, but we can temporarily bring it back.
Yeah.
He comes out of the ship, delivers his message, and then leaves.
Yes.
Right? So he's only dying in that last part.
See, to me, he had a Christ-like quality, Michael Rennie.
Absolutely.
And I thought it was about him being the sacrificial lamb. Now, this isn't my Catholic school upbringing speaking. It's taking it from a cinematic experience, that it was about someone's got to get it in the neck for people to possibly learn their lesson. Right?
Hmm.
So for me, that ethereal face, and let's face it, Keanu can do ethereal.
Look, Keanu was not the problem with this new film. Keanu was, I thought Keanu is, he is expressionless, he is humorless and so forth, but that's the character he's playing. And I thought he actually, you know, I thought as Klaatu, I was very worried about him, and I thought he was fine. He was not the issue for me. The issue was everything else.
No, but when he was eating the sandwich and the guy was having a heart attack in front of him in Grand Central Station or wherever it was, Penn Station, actually I recall the sign when they came out, I thought you could have had some emotion go across his face as he's trying to understand this interplay of human beings and what they're doing to each other.
Mm. Well, we had that one little flex of his cheek. It could have been chewing, but...
that's the masseter muscle working in the jaw. All right, so that's that part. Okay, and the other fact was, I've already mentioned that the little boy I felt needed slapping and being popped somewhere,
See, the biggest problem I had with the little boy was not so much him. I think once again it was Jennifer Connelly. I think it was a combination of the two of them. I didn't believe their relationship at all.
Never once.
Never once did I believe that. I felt like she was his nanny.
Oh, and the quick fix at the grave. Hey, let's have that conversation. It's only 12 months since Amanda. You miss him? I miss him too. Great!
Yeah, oh, great!
McDonald's.
It's all done.
Oh, my God!
It's like, yeah, no. And now, the other person who I thought was completely wasted in the new film was Kathy Bates.
Yes.
Now, I love Kathy Bates. Love, love, love Kathy Bates. And I just thought, what the hell? What the hell? They gave her nothing to do. All she had to do was look stern the whole time.
Wear a bun
and be severe.
Yeah.
And there was, and that, it actually comes back to one of my major key points about this film, which is the fact that it was completely humorless. If it was a heart meter, it would have been a flat line.
I agree.
There was absolutely no levels
in
the film. So there was no emotional stake in it.
No.
Because we never felt anything for anyone.
I like the fact that she was sort of left holding the house when it was about to be firebombed and the president and the vice president racked off to their little safe cubbyhole. and then she's having chats with him and he says, no, go ahead, do it. And she goes, oh, but this is wrong. She was the weakest minister of defence or whatever they call it. What do they call it?
Secretary of Defence.
And you think, lady, you're passive. Do something.
I don't believe it would have been the Secretary of Defense. I think it would be the Secretary of State would have been there. I think we would have had somebody of real authority at that situation. Not the president. He would have been buggered off to wherever it was. But I think we would have had some serious political control there. Because, I mean, we're talking, this is not something, this is a world-changing event. You know, it's like, it's not something you're just going to hand over to. It's like, you know, when the Liberal government here was in power, you would have said, yeah, Brendan Nelson, you handle it. You know, you're the Minister of Defense.
That's right. You have that pet.
Yeah. That's not going to happen, you know?
I mean, she was in her, like, Chanel suit, and she just, as I say, walked around and then walked up to him and said, no, that's not going to happen. But my favourite, the bit, I have some questions for you. I agree, Kathy Bates was not let off the leash. But the lie detector scene, that was interesting.
I actually think that I have two scenes in the film, I take that back. I have three scenes in the film that I actually liked. And there are different levels of like and for different reasons.
Yes.
I love the lie detector scene. I thought that's actually the scene we played at the beginning of this little clip. I just, I thought it was really nicely handled, and I thought that his whole escape process was actually very interesting.
I thought it was very well done. I thought the special effects were interesting. Do you believe...
Which is a lot better than the original film, because in the original film, he goes, I want to go out. He says, no, you're not allowed to. So they lock the door, and the next scene, he's walking down the street with a suitcase. You know, you sit there and go, my first question, of course, is, where the hell did he get a suitcase from? Of course, we find out that he stole it, right? Yes. But, you know, he's always walking down the street in this with his suitcase and his suit, and you go, how'd you get out?
You know? I'm Michael Rennie. But you know what absolutely tickled me? I'm just going to jump ahead away.
Jump all around, it's all right.
When he takes the suit off the lie detector guy and he looks exactly like Mr. Smith out of The Matrix.
Yes. And what I love, I also love the other thing about that, the other thing I love about that scene is he takes the suit, he says to the lie detector guy who's now mind controlling, and he says, take off your suit. The next scene shows him standing there in the suit, and the lie detector guy is in exactly the same seated position, but in his underwear.
Yeah, but I like the fact that
how the hell did the suit get off?
But when he said, what size are you? And I thought, you're an alien. How do you know what 42 long means?
Yes, that's true.
I mean, at least in the Terminator films, he could eyeball them and know that it was the right size. I mean, there was some sense behind that. But oh my God. Now, do you believe that when he let go of the mind control of the lie detector guy, do you believe when he said don't go that he was in fact dead and he was talking through him like a puppet?
No, I think he was still alive.
But why did he say don't go?
Because I think he was afraid of what would happen because he had no control over his own body. So I think he knew that...
Fecal incontinence?
What, yeah, because he knows that as soon as he let go, the whole thing, he just collapsed like a puppet.
See, I thought he was dead. I thought when the zapping went through, I think he was electrocuted and that's when he did that little got your back thing. And I felt that when he did the whole don't go... My concern was that he was, in fact, dead.
Well, I think, see, it's interesting, because I think if he was dead, then that kind of goes against the Klaatu character. Because the Klaatu character, what was that bang in the back?
It's the lie detector guy falling from the chair.
That's a studio cat. No, no, I think because, there's the scene with the cop where he kills the cop, and he says, this won't let me hurt for a minute. Kills the cop and then brings him back to life, you know? And I don't think he would have killed the lie detector guy.
But he did need the energy, the electricity from the car to revive the police guy.
That's true. That's actually a good question.
So I knew you'd know, and that's why I asked
that's
you.
A good question. That's actually a very good question. All right, second scene that I loved, in fact, it's not just one scene. I have to say that I loved everything with Gort.
Me too.
Problem that I had, though, was that his name wasn't Gort. The military gave him the name Gort.
Yes, I agree. That annoyed
me. Sucked. I'm sorry. His name was Gort. He wasn't an acronym, you know? He was Gort. That was his name.
I know.
Anyway, so I was a bit pissed off by that.
That annoyed me too.
But I loved Gort. I thought Gort was so well done. But I love Gort in the original as well.
I love Gort. So. Do you feel Gort had to be that big in the new one?
Yeah, because I think if they could have done him that big in the original, they would have. Because in the original, they actually went out and sourced out a 7-foot man to play him.
Oh.
And then on the 7-foot man, they then put platform shoes, and the head was built above his head to make him 8-foot tall. So they wanted to make him enormous, and they didn't have the ability to do that. So, of course, in the new one, they wanted to make him huge. And I think the fact that he has to be believed that he has power to destroy a planet.
Yes.
He has to be a monster, you know? Now.
But is bigger better?
Oh yeah! Come on. That scene in the bunker where the guy walks in and Gort's eye follows him across the room. You just sit there and go, "That's just evil." And now, if he wasn't that size, you wouldn't have that effect.
Yes,
because he had to have that huge head staring at him as he walked.
Little red light following him.
It was very Cylon.
I loved that. Go back the other way to
test. Any scene that had Gort in it, I thought I loved. I loved Gort. He was terrific. And the last thing that I really liked about the sequel, that's a terrible word. The last thing I really liked about, and I think was probably my favorite, the standout scene, was John Cleese's cameo.
Yes.
And all I could think all the way through this film was, why wasn't there more of him? Because John Cleese was a restrained, down-to-earth, grounded John Cleese, and he was fabulous.
I was watching him. I thought, where are you going to go with this, buddy? And he, and you're totally right, he inhabited the character. He had that beautiful, when they do the, he's doing the algebra on the blackboard and the Keanu characters working together and they're doing the sums together and this beautiful conversation of the minds and the intellects.
I love the fact that there's no words spoken.
There's no words and he turns and looks at him and he knows exactly who and what he is.
Yeah, and that's actually handled better than the original, because in the original he comes and he writes a few things on the board and he leaves, which is what gets the meeting, and then when he comes back he says, I thought you would have solved it by now. He goes, almost, but this. He goes, no, all you have to do is this, and it's done. That's the scene, it's over. And yeah. But whereas with this film it was handled with this, and I love that there's, as you say, where they're doing it together, that where Keanu starts to write something and John Cleese walks up behind him and starts to fill in the rest of it.
Yes.
And then Keanu would turn around and correct him.
Yes.
And then go back to something else, and it was just this beautiful piece.
It
you
was
know?
Lovely. And it was, I agree, it was too short. The whole scene with him, he was not on the screen long enough. He gave it some lovely, he gave it the lightness. I think that was exactly what you're saying.
That's it. His scene had levels.
Yes.
His scene. So if you were to monitor on a heart monitor, it would have been an absolute flat line. We get to that scene, he goes boop, like a little blip, and then it's gone again.
Yes.
Because they lose him. And you sit and go, why? Why? That character, the Bernhard character, is a major character in the original.
Yes.
And they've reduced him to a cameo.
And the other issue is, effectively, he is one of the main people that the alien needed to speak with.
That's right.
And everyone's gagged. Now, whether the movie, apart from the heavy-handed environmental message, is taking it from that angle, whether the movie's also trying to say the right people aren't getting to have a voice, you know, in the world at the moment, maybe. Maybe they're talking about the general, you know, where the power lies. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think, well, yeah, no, that's a hard one. Because I think we're also talking about two very different politically charged worlds. And I think that...
I'm talking about the new one only.
Yeah, well, no, but see, I think you can't separate them. Because we look at the original... And in the original, he couldn't get the world leaders together because the world was in the middle of a Cold War and nobody would talk.
Yeah.
Now, we actually could get all the world leaders together. I think all the world leaders would come together and to see this event and to talk to this person.
Well, I know how much you hate America bashing, but the bottom line is the movie's saying that they wouldn't let it happen.
And I think that's actually very true. And I think they handled that very well. I think what happens with the Americans, and I think this is actually true of any country in particular, is I think what will happen is this event lands in your backyard and they immediately throw the army at it and say, it's classified.
Yeah.
He's saying, but I want to talk to everybody in the world. No, you're classified. You know, it's like, I think that's actually handled well in the film because I think that's true. I think they would be insane and sit there and go, it's now a state secret.
We own everything we're
going to
own.
We own everything.
We're going to gut the sphere.
Yeah.
We're going to own all the technology.
And you sit there and go, what is wrong with you people, you know?
But do you feel it's also saying that the people that are able to stop... If the whole movie in the new one is about saying we are at a precipice, which is what they're saying in the new movie,
yep,
of a crisis, and they're putting it in terms of environmental situations, this planet is not going to tolerate the way that we are treating it. Do you feel that silencing that, one, the alien experiences and not being able to talk to the right people, and as well that the wrong people aren't getting to have their voice, do you think that that's a comment on the people that should be able to avoid this
Absolutely.
Crisis?
Because if you look at our world now, the way it stands now, the electric car was stifled. The people who talk about the environment are mocked. You know, it's like we sit there and we look at the world now and we sit there and everything, we're... The people who actually want to try and change things are basically being put down as lunatics, and the people in Detroit and so forth continue going on making cars and, you know, spewing the pollutants into the atmosphere and everything. Going, hey, it's okay, not a problem. I think what's happening, though, is we are seeing a turnaround, and I think we are starting to see more and more people starting to take that direction.
Do you feel this?
I think the film is saying
intentions of that film.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think the film is saying, in a science fiction content, it's like what the original film is saying. The original film is saying, if we keep building nuclear weapons, we're going to destroy ourselves. So the film puts it in the context of, if you keep building nuclear weapons, we'll destroy you. So the new film is saying, if we keep destroying the planet, we are going to be destroyed. The film puts it in the context of, if you keep destroying this planet, we're going to destroy you. Right? Yeah. So it's just putting it into a context of saying, of putting an outside force to do the inevitable.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, and in that sense, the film is you know, trying to do a service. I think the problem is that it's not handled very well.
And the end. How abrupt was that end? Did they run out of ink in their printer?
Do you know what? They took a page right out of the 1951 for that, though. That's as abrupt as the 1951 ending. In the 1951 ending, he literally said, in 51, he literally comes out, he says, here's the deal. He goes, we've achieved world peace. We've achieved universal peace in the galaxy. And the way we did this was we gave up our sovereign rights and we made these robots that destroy anything that gets in the way of being peaceful. You guys get peaceful or they're going to come and destroy you. Thank you. Hops in his ship and goes, boom, and takes off.
That's got closure. This remake, right, so I'm not going to spoil how cool Gort does destructive things. I'm actually...
But see, I had a problem with that, though. I had a problem with the fact that he was doing destructive things. Because in the original film, they never actually destroyed anything. Because he was saying, this will happen if you do this. In the new film, they kind of took it too literally.
No, but in the new film, I'm shocked. I need a little lie down that I'm defending the new film in just this particular...
I am stunned.
I know. I need a beck and a lie down. All right, so we'll just backtrack a bit. There was a previous alien agent that had been living on the planet for 60 years, and they have a meeting under the Golden Arches. And do you want to talk about product placement? That's for another whole discussion, I'm sorry. But they have a little meeting, and then the agent that's been living on Earth for 70 years or 60 years says, you know, they're destructive and they're vicious. And
but I love them.
But Keanu says, all right, we'll do it. And he goes, but I love them. He says, you're going to come with me? He goes, no, I love them. I don't want to leave them. Okay, fine. So that decision was made under the Golden Arches, and it was already begun. There was never any point, and I thought it was a bit strange when the John Cleese character, which was Dr.
Bernhard,
says, you know, you're not going to persuade him with argument, you have to persuade him yourself. And I thought, was that a bit bold? You know, what's the persuasion going to come to? And she never really stood to, there was no moment.
No, it was the graveyard. It was the fact that the boy cries and she goes, oh, look, I'm sorry. And they go, oh, cuddle, cuddles. And he turns around and goes, there is another side to you. What did they do? It's all about snot. What did they possibly do in that graveyard that turned him around?
You know when he revived the policeman that he sort of killed slightly, right? And then the kid takes him to the graveyard and it goes, here's my daddy, wallabada, do your thing. Can you say that's a scene out of Practical Magic? I know you can do it, but it'll come back as something dark and unnatural.
Yeah.
No, bad luck. And he never... He said,
brains. Send more cops.
Oh, my God. I just thought, you know, well, he's going to pop up and he'll be a bit smelly. You know, whatever. Yeah, and I just thought, no, there was no point of turning around. This kid, all right.
I didn't think he was that terrible an actor, but the kid's story arc was all wrong. We have a kid who hates him and basically says, he's an alien, kill him. That's what dad would do.
Yeah.
You know, that's what dad would do. Let's kill him. And then when he finds out with his mom is hanging out, he goes, you should kill him, right, all the way through it. He sees the number of the thing. If you see this alien, call us. So he calls them, right? He brings in the cops, you know. They come in, they snatch his mother.
Why didn't they snatch Keanu at that point?
I don't know. The kid goes storming off, almost falls off the bridge. Keanu saves him and he goes, oh.
You're okay.
You're all right. And it's like, pardon, this kid just wanted to kill this alien.
But that was the scene in the back of the utility. When they're in they're driving along and he says, but you wanted to kill me. He goes, oh, that was then. And I didn't know, and I could be giving the movie makers a bit more credit than they deserved. I thought, maybe they're saying that we are children. Maybe they're saying that the violence and inherent aggression in humans is that we are a childlike being. And that if things are explained to us, and as heavy-handed as you may think, then we will turn around and not want to kill the alien, or as in our own planet. Mm. I don't know.
Well, my goodness. That was in-depth.
I know. I don't know how...
I was just about to say, we've just recorded 40 minutes when we were going to do 10.
I'm sorry. Do you want to go again? We'll do a brand new one and then just stay on task.
Do you know what? I'm thinking that's fine. I think we are going to move on from here and we're going to say, just to close this off, we're going to say that everything that we've said obviously hasn't affected box office because we're at an $80 million budget. Day the Earth Stood Still so far has turned over a hefty profit of $204 million. People are flocking to the cinema to see it. Not apparently in Australia. It's already finishing at some cinemas here.
Mate, there was 8 people in my cinema.
Yeah, my cinema was half empty too. So, I don't know. In America, it seems to have touched somebody. I don't know why. I don't know who. Anyway. We will finish off here. We're going to have a little clip from the original 1951. We started with the original, with the new one. We'll finish with the original. So I'm going to say thank you very much for joining me, Katrina.
Thank you for having
me. I think we've just got about half the show now.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right. What the hell? Something different for a show. I think it's interesting to look at when you are starting to touch this. I say as a remake, I think it sucks. As a standalone film, yeah, it's an entertainment. It's all right, but I think it was too preachy. You know, and that's really where I stand.
What would you
on
give it
film.
Out of five?
I don't give star ratings, but if I was going to give a star rating, now I give films on a percent. I rate films on whether or not I enjoyed, you know, whether or not I had a good time. You know, and I look at it and go, I wasn't bored. It was entertaining. You know, so if you were putting a star sort of rating, you whack it at a straight three or so, you'd say it's right in the middle of the road, you know?
I'd have given it a two.
A two?
Oh, yeah. There were too many
I'll give it 2.5. There's too many plot holes.
Yeah.
So I'd say there's too many questions left unanswered, and that's a bit of a problem. But it's not boring, and Keanu is kind of fun to watch because he is a robot himself. Thank you very much, Katrina.
Thank you.
And here is a little bit of the 1951, Day the Earth Stood Still.
It's only a few blocks to Barnard's.
Worried about Gort. I'm afraid of what he might do if anything should happen to me.
Gort, but he's a robot. Without you, what could he do?
There's no limit to what he could do. He could destroy the Earth. If anything should happen to me, you must go to Gort. You must say these words. Klaatu, Barada, Nikto. Please repeat that.
Klaatu, Barada, Nikto.
You must remember those words.
Okay, so we're back, and that was a long a long debate about the Day the Earth Stood Still, but a very interesting one, I thought.
I've watched the first.
Yeah, and I was going to say, what is interesting is that you actually went downstairs and watched the 1951 Day the Earth Stood Still while we were recording that.
Yeah.
So what did you think of it?
I know
you haven't seen the remake, but what did you think of the original?
I thought it was okay.
Yeah, I like the original. Yeah. I think the original, I mean, okay, it's a dated film. It is dealing with, you know, it's black and white, and it's 1951 style filmmaking and so forth. But it is a classic. It is one of those films where you sit there and watch and go, it still is relevant today. It still has an important thing to say. And Gort is cool. The big robot is cool.
You remember when he disintegrated those two?
Yeah. And that was a point that Katrina and I made in that review, when we were basically saying that it was a shame that they didn't have that famous line. You know, the Gort, Klaatu, Varadu, Nektu, was not in the remake, which is just sinful.
So was Gort in it?
Gort was in it, and Gort is cool in the remake. He's like 25 feet tall.
Oh.
He's a big CG creation, and he's actually very good in the remake. He's the best thing in the remake, actually. But the original, I think, is still by far a superior film. Okay, we're moving right along here. Nicholas, what did we go see?
Madagascar Escape to Africa.
We went to see Madagascar Escape to Africa. Now, Madagascar Escape to Africa was the sequel to the film Madagascar. We did talk about this in the Christmas show, where we said we were going to go see this. Here is a little bit of it for you.
To move it, move it.
She likes to move it, move it.
We like to
move it.
New York City, here we come, baby.
If you ever come to look us up in Manhattan, feel free to call first.
Hey, surprise, Briggs. Oh, I'm a lady. Which
my favorite character.
Yeah.
Seriously, though, call.
Move it.
Buckle up, boys.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I just hit the key to stop it. Oh, well, we need to stop it there anyway. Funny, 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 funny movie.
Funny, 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 funny.
Funny movie. I liked it a lot. In fact, I think, as far as I'm concerned, the first half an hour is actually the funniest in the film. King Julian, voiced by Sacha Baron Cohen, is, for me, the best character in the whole film. I love the penguins. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I love the penguins.
But the penguins were the best thing in the first movie. And King Julian was in the first movie, but the penguins were the best thing in the first movie. King Julian is the best thing in this movie. I think King Julian, Sacha Baron Cohen, is allowed to cut loose a little bit more, and he is very funny.
Hey, look, I'm a lady!
I'm a lady! It's a very, very funny film. I enjoyed it a lot. I think it lags a little bit in the middle, but, you know, it's got to get the sentimental stuff in there. The old lady is very funny.
Bad kitty.
The film this time around is about them leaving Madagascar. The penguins have basically rebuilt an airplane, and they fly out, and of course the plane is a wreck, and it crashes again, and this time they crash in Africa, in a game park reserve, and this is where Alex the Lion, voiced by Ben Stiller, this is where his mother and father are. And they're basically returned home, and the zebra discovers the other zebras, and Melman the giraffe discovers the other giraffes, and they all think that this is kind of interesting until they start to realize that they really are kind of out of place because they're zoo animals, and they're not really quite ready for the wild. So you enjoyed this, though, right?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It was very funny.
Yeah, it was.
Hey, remember? It's more better when you put your arms up like this.
One point when the plane is falling. Actually, I might even have the clip here. Hold on a second.
Yeah, it is in there.
Yeah, let's have a look. If I do this and go, here we go. So this is the plane is falling out of the sky. It's crashing.
It's more fun when you raise your arms like this.
He's a very funny character, I tell you. Sacha Baron Cohen is a funny one because I was never a big Ali G fan. Ali G was a character he did on television. And I was never a huge Ali G fan, but I love some of his other work. I loved Borat. I thought Borat was fabulous. And I love the Madagascar films. And I also really quite enjoyed him in Sweeney Todd. He plays one of the characters in Sweeney Todd, which I wasn't a big fan of, but I liked him. Anyway, so highly recommended. It is, I think, as good as the first.
Yeah.
I think if you watch the two side by side, you would enjoy them both equally. They're both very funny films. Some of the stuff between the penguins and the monkeys is very amusing. And the
hey, remember when you see them... Oh, yeah, I shouldn't.
No, don't give away anything. And also, I thought it was quite amusing, the whole concept that when Marty the zebra, voiced by Chris Rock, and of course Melman was David Schwimmer from Friends, and Gloria the hippopotamus is Jada Pinkett Smith, who is the mother of the little boy in The Day the Earth Stood Still, which is the new version. Anyway, when Marty the zebra discovers that he's basically identical to every other zebra, voice and everything, I find that quite amusing. They all talk and act exactly the same. So I thought that was quite amusing, too. All right, we're going to move on, unless you have something to add? Obviously not. Okay. All right, we're going to move this right along. We're going to say thank you very much for joining us. Oh, just a quick one out there. Hello to the boys at Porn Plus Plus. I'm enjoying your podcast greatly. I listen to you every week. I always throw this at the end to see if they're actually listening to us.
Well, they did mention you once.
They did. They mentioned us several episodes ago, which was quite nice of them. Anyway, I am enjoying it very much, and if you haven't listened to it and you don't mind a little bit of, let's say, spicy talk, I don't know a better way to put that while Nicholas is sitting here across from me. It is for mature audiences only, strictly. I just let you.
Is it rated M?
Oh, I think it's harder than that.
Rated an R?
It's an explicit. But I will say that I've introduced you to Jacob, one of our co-hosts here, and he loves the show as well. He was listening to you when he was staying with us just before he went out to the wilds, and he was enjoying it greatly. So keep up the good work. And in the meantime, all of you go see more movies, including us. I have not seen enough movies.
Yeah, you've been so slack.
I have been so slack. It's been a lovely Christmas holiday, though, but we are back on board. Everything is back to normal as of today. So, in the meantime, go see more movies. All of life's questions are answered in the movies, and we will talk to you next week. This is episode 21 for, what's the date?
The 2nd of October, 15,048.
It's actually the 16th of the 1st, 09, but that's alright. 16th of January.
Hey, Dad, would you be able to put that in your funny list at the end? Because I didn't.